Morning. I invite you to pull out your Bibles this morning. Quite a few verses that we want to look at and some thoughts. And I'm excited about this lesson. So we put it together. I realize there's several reasons why I did not become a full-time preacher, but I still enjoy putting this together and some of the thoughts that I have to share and hopefully the thoughts that I have tonight, this morning, I am excited about. Hopefully they'll come across that way. It's a very simple lesson. Things that we have definitely heard before and thoughts. And it started really simply outside in my yard as I actually was just washing the truck. And it had nothing to do actually with God's promise of a rainbow. But it was enough to get me to start thinking about that. And you can see a reflection of some of the colors. And I think all of us, most everyone, when we see a rainbow, it just kind of stops us and makes us think. Saw one at work the other day, and a bunch of them just kind of went to the window and looked at it. We just kind of stop and think. And it was just enough of a reflection that kind of brought out those colors. And it got me to thinking and to stop and reflect upon some things. And then several points came to mind, and that will pretty much be the lesson for us this morning. Just in that simple thing of we looking at that rainbow, and thoughts started to come to mind, and I mentally put them down, and got a chance, I put them down on paper, and it just kind of flowed. And so I think there's a lot of things that we can actually learn from the rainbow and keep remind ourselves and hopefully encourage us, and that's our point this morning. And we hopefully bring out a few things to help bring us closer to God. A lot of the lesson this morning will come from Genesis 9, 8 through 17. And don't go, Mike did a great job of reading that. We're not going to read it again. But it comes from that point in the covenant or the promise of God to Noah, and that he would destroy the earth, and that he would build or have this rainbow that would be a covenant, a sign between them and all mankind in the future of that great promise. And what that means. And we're going to look at those things this morning. And first I want to talk, one of the first points that I think that we can get by reflecting upon this and seeing this rainbow is realizing the point that God exists. And we'll build into that. But I think if you pull it in just the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, and in these verses you can see just the beginning of creation. And we won't read this all. I'll skip around a lot. Today, there's lots of verses that could go along with what we're talking about. We'll read the first three verses of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And I chose verse 9 to kind of go along with the waters and thing of this morning's lesson. And he said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear." And it was so. And a few more verses that I chose out in the creation is 26 through 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every deep in every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I wish we had time to read through all of this and understand the days of creation and see it again. And even though it's things that we've studied since we were little children, it doesn't hurt us to go back through this and just see the power of God as he created the earth and all things that we see and know. And to me, this is enough if we can see it. And we can look at the things around us today, and we can look at the changing of the seasons and the different things of life. And if we just sit back and not take it for granted and look at it, to me there's enough that says there's a creator. And no man could design this. A lot of people, though, will look at this and say, "Hey, this is a great story." They want to deny God and the things, and then they say, "This is a great story. Anybody could write it. Very interesting." They talk about evolution and other things, but you know, as I look at that, I can pick those things apart, just realizing if there's evolution, then why haven't we seen it in years and years and years? Why are we still the same? If there's evolution, why do we still fight the diseases and the sicknesses and things? Why don't we evolve and be able to overcome those things? And to me, there's so many things that just don't make sense with certain things of theories and signs. But to me, there's just an obvious sign of the Creator. And that's not where I want my lesson to go this morning, but there's just so much. And a lot of times we see these young babies, and each time we see when we, a lot of times different people react differently. Most people want to hold them. And I guess I just am amazed. I just stare, just look at them and just see these tiny little things at work, these tiny little fingers and toes, and knowing inside the heart, there's a little tiny lungs and hearts, and there's a brain, and there's all these things that are just so small, and it just became, and there's no way we can just evolve. There's no way that's described by any other way than a Creator. There's just, we can't duplicate that. We can't recreate that. And to me, that's everything that we need to see. If we look at that, and I just sit back and amazed each and every time I've seen a little one that just, the power of God in the creation. And I think if we look at the things that, of the rainbow and some of these things, is even in these verses that we talked about, we see that God, through the story of Noah that Mike read earlier, that even these few verses, we see that God had the power to destroy. He destroyed the earth except for those faithful ones and those that are on that ark. He destroyed it all. And then we see from this promise that he had the power to keep it from happening again. Realize he had the power to destroy, he has the power to keep it from happening again. That's amazing power. And he had the power to make this promise and know that it could happen. And when we think of those, just the power that he had, the ability to control the elements. Of course he did, because he created them. And he had the power to destroy him, he has the power to protect, and the power to make that promise. We see the rainbow then as a sign to stop and reflect. And we have that in many, many things. This morning we have the Lord's Supper, to take time we have as humans need to stop and reflect and think about things in this life that we don't take them for granted. And it amazed me as I read through this, as this wasn't one of the initial thoughts I thought of. But as I read through this again, it said that God even uses us to remember. These verses we read said that I will look upon that and remember. And we'll talk more about God remembering that later. But even God takes the time to remember. But if we look at these and the signs that God has used signs in many ways throughout. We can just look at the Israelites. And I was just jotting down a lot of things from memory. There's probably a whole lot more that we could think of. But we look at in Egypt, all the signs that he used to show the Egyptians and the Israelites that he was God and that he was in power. And we see that when they were in the wilderness, all the signs and different, the food that they gave them each morning, and the fact that if you took too much or you tried to save it for the next day, what happened? The signs with the food just in itself, that there is a God. The fact that they were led by a cloud where they were to go. All these signs that they had continuously proving that God was who he was and he was their leader and they were to follow him. Numerous signs. Jesus used signs through his time here on earth and showing his power and that he was from God. The miracles that we talked about, the apostles and in the beginning of the kingdom being set up here, how they used their signs to show that God was with them and the things that they needed to use to teach God's word. Signs have continuously been used throughout. They're all around us each and every day. There are signs around us that show that God exists and he is in power, and they're just right there. But do we become accustomed to them, just like the Israelites had these signs every day, the food, the clouds and stuff, and yet they turn from God? Do we become so accustomed to these signs that we fail to see them and fail to realize that God exists? This reflection of this rainbow should at least make us pause at certain times to realize that sign and what it means and that God exists. I think, too, that it's just so simple that we can try to take the time to understand the complicated and beautiful design that it is and the prism, the primary colors and all of that. You know, maybe there's a reason that I didn't do as well in science classes and things. To me, they're there. We can take time to try to understand them, but they were created and they're there. And I have other things on this earth to do. But we can take the time to try to understand that, but it's just a simple reminder. It is what it is. It's a simple reminder, a promise from God to remind us. Signs that we just discussed, they were all simple and they all served a purpose, just like this rainbow. We can't look at some things, though, and think that we try to make things complicated. We try to make it worthwhile, and I think that God has something to say about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. It says here, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.' Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and the Greek seeks after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." We look here and we see different things, and how I think this is such a struggling block of so many today that we try to make it so complicated and something that we can make ourselves feel good by understanding our intellect, and then how it has to be so much better than what it is, and it can't be this simple of God's creation and His plan and what He wants us to do. It has to be something more there, and we are wise. We are so far beyond what they used to be in this mankind, and here's what we think today. And we try to make it so complicated, but it's still so simple. We look at different things throughout the Bible, and I think that helps us to understand, but really, and it says in these, it's really as to Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. It has come to save, verse 21, to save those who believe. That's what God's word is all about. That's what He is, to save those who believe in Him. And we can make it as complicated as we want or try to, but it really is that simple. And I think that we can also see in the example of those who chose to be His followers, to share His work after He has gone, to educate and to follow and to have the purpose continue. And those that He chose as apostles, and yes, they were a diverse group, but most of them are not highly educated. They're not high of class. They're mostly fishermen, common workers, that could understand what God and Jesus planned, and as they were guided and as they went through this time, we see that they struggled, but when it was time for them to carry on God's will, they carried on. And they had the Holy Spirit with them, yes, but they were just common people. God could have chosen anyone to do His work, and He chose these people who could understand and relate. I think it's another sign of how simple His word is. We can see that in 2 Peter 3:9. I won't take the time. We will look at 2 Peter 3 later, several verses that we want to look at. But here He says that in verse 9 of chapter 3, that all should come to repentance. If it is so complicated, then only for the wise and intellectual, then how can everyone come to repentance? It is meant for all to understand, and not to make more complicated than what it is. It's figure out how the rainbow works so we can accept that it is a sign created from God, and it is meant for that to be a promise. It's made, His word then too, is made for all who believe. It's made for the meek, for the humble, and we are to be servants of God. It also, as I said, made me, just even in these simple things, it always makes me pause and remember. We talked about the need to be reminded, and each Lord's Day we take the time to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we said again, that even God takes this rainbow to remember. But I think I just jot down several thoughts that came to my mind instantly then, just of the things that we can reflect upon when we see something like this great rainbow, that it remembers that we remember that He will not destroy by flood again. That was the purpose, that He will not destroy the earth by flood again. There may be floods, but He will not destroy the earth by flood again. Remember that He made a covenant with man. He has a promise. We'll talk more about the promise in just a few minutes. And that's important for us to remember, that He has made us a promise. Remember, then, His great, great love. He saved those that were righteous. We remember His great power, His ability to do this, to flood, to destroy the earth, to save it. We can remember the results. What happened to those who did not live according to God's will? Look more why they were destroyed later. And remember that the results of those that don't follow God's will. Remember that there will be a destruction again. Remember that there is a God. Remind us that we are not to be of this world. This takes the time as we see this and reflect upon this. Like I said, I was doing things of physical things on this earth, things that didn't even have to happen, just things I enjoyed doing. And it made the time for me to reflect upon God and to take my mind off the things I was doing for this time and just reflect upon God and that we are not of this world, that there is something higher. Thinking of these things makes us remember our priorities and it causes us to refocus. Just several thoughts that I thought of immediately by seeing this great, something that reminded me of a rainbow. We need to take the time to pause and to reflect. I think it's important to reflect upon, though, His promise. We sang the song earlier about standing, just a few moments ago, about standing on the promises. I think it's important for us to have faith and to realize that God made a promise and that promise is good and His Word is good. We talked about the understanding His promise as we looked in Acts and in Romans recently even, about understanding that God made the promise and that it will come true and that we can believe in God's Word. And that's important for us, to stand on those things, to believe what we believe, and to push ourselves for the things that we have hope of in the future. And we can look at, in a few verses, again, there are several verses that we could pull. We'll just take the time to look at a few. In Hebrews chapter 6, in Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 13 through 15, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." You see the promise here of to Abraham, and that after a long time, Abraham started to see the results of this promise. And some even outside of his life. He patiently endured these things, knowing that they were to happen. And God's promise to him came true in each and every promise that he made. We see that he obtained the promise. We need to understand this and be reminded of this. And as I said, we'll look at 2 Peter chapter 3 many times today. If you have something to mark it, we'll reflect back here a couple times. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Here it says that, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.'" Some will come and say, it's hard for us to understand. You think about the promises to Abraham and how long before he saw some of them being fulfilled. How patient he was in seeing that come. How patient are we today? We want to see things. And people come and they struggle over this, and people will even come and say, as he says here, "Where is that promise of His coming?" But we can take faith and take heart and know that there is a promise and it will be fulfilled sometime. And nevertheless, in verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." We have been promised some things, and we can look forward to that, a new heaven, a new earth, because of those promises. And we can continue to believe, knowing as we have seen the promises of God being fulfilled in the past. And as we continue to look at some other verses, that we can see that we need to have the faith of Abraham and patiently wait, and the promise will come. We can see more about this promise in 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. And these two verses say, 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 say, "Therefore let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. And what you have heard from the beginning abides in you. You also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life." We've been made several promises. We've been promised by this rainbow that the earth will never be destroyed by flood again. We've been promised eternal life. And knowing that God's promises, and as we look through other things and see how he promised people when they came true, that we understand and have faith in that and look forward to eternal life, which he has promised to those who believe and do his will. We can have faith in that. And it's important to us to know that there is a promise and reflect upon that promise and other promises God has made so that we continue in our faith. There's something else that we hear many times in things, the way the earth will be destroyed. And we know that this promise says that it will never be destroyed by flood again. And I guess, you know, we know that there will be floods. We can think of things like New Orleans where parts have been destroyed. But not the whole earth, and not the way that it was back then. And when we can talk about things that of destruction, I guess there's certain things that cause me to worry, and a lot of things I worry more than I should, and I have to work on that to believe more. But the one thing that really doesn't bother me are things of this earth that we can see that I have no control of, and I know that there is one way that God will destroy us again. And so as we talk about these other things and maybe even fear these other things that could happen to us, there are parts of this earth that tornadoes, hurricanes, fires, even threats of war and things like that. Those things are beyond my control, but one thing I know, that God will only destroy the earth in one way. And we can read through the Bible and we can see that those things, even in 2 Peter 3, again, we'll look at that in just a minute, of the things that God says, this is how he will destroy the earth again, and there will be no other way. The other things are beyond our control, and I take comfort in knowing that. And we can get all caught up in these other things and fearing us. It's just pulling us away from what our focus should be and understanding that there is only one way, and that is God's way. And the other things we really are things that will keep us humble, things appreciative of God, and knowing what will be one day. If we go back just to 2 Peter chapter 3, we see that there is one way, and that is verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 3. "For they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded by water." And that brings us back to what we were talking about. But if we look at other verses, and we can see that in verse 7 continue, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved for the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." God will destroy the world, but it will be a way of fire and it will be gone. And at that time, we won't be considered worried as much about what is happening, but where our soul's at. That's where our worry and focus will be at that time. And if we have lived a life according to God's will, we won't have to worry about that either. We will know, as Paul knew, that his time was departing. He knew what his future was because he lived strong according to God's will. And if we have a faith like that and understand that what is to happen, we won't have to worry about that either because we know where our soul's at. When we're brought in before God and on that judgment day, we will know that our name is in that book of life if we live according to his will. We can take those worries away, understanding how this earth will be destroyed again and knowing that our promise of eternal life can be there because we have followed God's word. The last point, but probably the longest point, as I look through this, I could have made a whole lesson on this point alone. Lots of verses that we could have gone, but we understand, though, that punishment exists. A lot of times in this world today, they don't want to see that that punishment exists. God is a loving God, and all will have this reward, except for the ones that are really, really bad, evil people. God is a loving God. But we see that and through many passages, and there's just so many more that I could have pulled out. We're going to look at some of these. And as we look at these, I want us to see that punishment exists. Why were they punished? And what happened to those who were righteous? we'll see a continuous pattern. The first place to start, we'll just kind of start at the beginning in Genesis and kind of go through just a few examples of these things. And you can see the same things continuously happen over and over again. And that these people didn't learn. But then the question to us is, are we learning from these same examples? And that is the point that we should learn from. And to make sure that we are not following the same faults and examples that they missed. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "And the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." We see some things here, and let's go ahead and look at verse 13. "And God said to Noah, the end of the flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And on verse 17, and behold, I myself and bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die." We've been looking at mostly after this happened, the covenant with Moses, the promise to Noah that the earth would not be destroyed in this way again. But now we look back at what caused this. What caused God to destroy the earth? He saw the wickedness of man was great. Every intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil, continually, filled with violence. And God said he would destroy it. He said he would destroy it with all flesh and breath of life. Everything on the earth shall die. You know, Noah and his family, though, was saved because Noah found grace. Verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The righteous were saved. Evil was destroyed. Let's continue to look at that. We won't take the time to look at this now, but read just this one verse in Genesis 18:20, talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. "And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave." And Abraham knew what God was saying here. He knew it's going to be destroyed, because immediately Abraham starts, this is when he continues to talk to God about, what about 50 souls? What about 10? What about... God, Abraham knew what this meant, and he was pleading with God to save this Sodom and Gomorrah from being destroyed. But God is going to destroy them because, why? Because their sin is very grave. And what happens in that story too? Abraham is allowed to go in, and he's allowed to pull out Lot. They're told what to do, and then again, God provided a way for those that followed him. But the evil was destroyed. Looking at Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32, verses 10 through 13. "So the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore an oath, saying, surely none of the men who came out from Egypt, from 20 years old and above, shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb and the son of Jephunneh and Kenanite and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that he had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. The anger of the Lord was aroused." The Lord was angry. I've talked about this before, and I think we all, you know, as I was a child and growing up, you know, I was punished for the things I did, but that wasn't the worst part. The worst part was disappointing my parents. The worst part was having that disappointment in them and knowing that they were disappointed in me. The punishment sometimes was almost a relief, because I knew I had done wrong, and that almost made it better, I guess. I don't know. Knowing I disappointed them, I can't imagine disappointing my God. And I know I have. To have his anger against me, that makes me reflect upon that. Disappointing my parents, disappointing the one who created me, who has blessed me, who sent his son for me, who has provided eternal life for me, to know that I've disappointed. And yet here, he is angry. He's angry again at sin. He is angry because they have not wholly followed Him. And because of that, He's going to destroy them. Again, He provides a way for the righteous. Caleb and Joshua, they wholly followed the Lord, and they are saved. Those that did evil, those, we see some things about those that have sinned. We see the intent of their hearts. We see that here they did not wholly follow God. All these things cause God to be angry, cause destruction. But those that follow God, they are always saved continuously, over and over. We can see just a few more verses that I want to look at. There's several again. One of them that Psalm 78 goes through all this and kind of looks at the Israelites and how many times they angered the Lord and how He continuously looked at them and felt sorry for them as they repented and gave them another chance. We see the great love of God as He became angry because of their sin and then forgave them. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 7 and 8, we'll skip some verses here again too, just due to time, but verses 7 and 8, remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry enough with you to have destroyed you. We see these things, we've been looking at God as angry and destroys, but what do we see that it's the cause, we're the cause of that. Israelites caused this. They provoked the Lord by the things that they did. They caused the Lord to be angry. And it's that the Lord would have destroyed them in verse 8 because they again continuously provoked the Lord. And then I think those are strong words. Do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath. Do not forget that. We look at some other verses here. Jump down to verses 12 through 14. Then the Lord said to me, arise, go down quickly from here, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have acted corruptly. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them and made themselves a molded image. Furthermore, the Lord spoke to me, saying, I have seen these people, and indeed they are stiff-necked people. Let me alone, and I may destroy them and blot their name from under heaven. I will make you a nation mightier and greater than they. And we see these things here, and again we see the power of God that I'm going to destroy them and I'm going to make a great nation even greater and stronger than them. They again have quit following me. They have turned from me. We see more again. They are a stiff-necked people. We look just a little farther. So I turned and came down, verse 15. So I turned and came down from the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, and the two tablets of covenants were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, you have sinned against the Lord your God. You made for yourselves a molded calf. You have turned aside quickly from the way which your Lord had commanded you. I took the two tablets, and I threw them out of my two hands and broke them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord. That's the first 40 days and nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of your sin which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke Him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with which the Lord was angry with you to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me at this time also. The Lord was angry. And it continues. We see the anger of the Lord and how He wanted to destroy them again. And the reasons why. Because they had committed. And in this case, they already built an idol. Because their leader had been gone. And they feared. And they created an idol. And turned from God so quickly. When He had been showing all these signs continuously to them over and over again. So many other things that we could do, but if we go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, some of the same verses that we have already looked at and continue to look at a few more. In 2 Peter chapter 3, again we've read verses 5 through 7, for this they will if we forget that the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. For the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We think that God will not destroy. He has destroyed and He will destroy again. That is another promise that we have. Verse 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. But the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of that which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens, new earth, which righteousness dwells. It will be destroyed. We have been promised that. It will be destroyed, but there is a new place. We are promised of that too. The wicked, those that are do evil, will be destroyed, but he provides a way for the righteous. We continuously saw that theme over and over again. The wicked were destroyed. We see why they were destroyed. We see the righteous is continuously saved. We can try to deny that there will be the fact that there will be a punishment, but there is a punishment. Matthew 7:13-14 tell of the straight and narrow gate, and few that there will be that find it. He provides a way, but few of us are going to go through that way because of we're stubborn, stiff-necked, and turn from God. Do not wholly follow God. I think this is the last verse, 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. Many other verses we could have chosen, but whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he is manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. When we sin, sin is lawlessness. It pulls us, it separates us from God. It is of the devil. And God will destroy evil. He will destroy the devil. He will destroy those that are of evil and not following God. There are two ways, of God and not of God. And he will destroy those that are not of God. We can be of God. He has sent us his Son to take away our sins. He has sent us a path. He has sent us a way to be saved. And then when we do that, our sins can be taken away and we can be forgiven. We can be of God. We can be of the righteous. As we've seen over and over, the righteous were saved. We have that promise. We have a promise of destruction. We have a promise of being saved. So we were reminded of this covenant as mentioned in Genesis chapter 9, this promise of the rainbow. It shows that his anger is still with mankind. And so I said earlier that we would look again at why does God need to be reminded of the same rainbow? Because he still gets angry with sin. It still frustrates him. He still knows that we are separated from God. And he has to be reminded. He has promised us this. It reminds him too as well, because that anger continues as we separate ourselves from him. He is always angry with sin, just as he was angry with these others. Sin separates us from God, and sin will have us be destroyed. But God provides a way. He protects us. He saves those that are righteous. God gives us an opportunity, but we don't know when that opportunity will end. We don't know how long we have. We can read that God will punish those who do not follow and obey him. We can know that he keeps his promises. Though it is very simple, reminds us that there is a God and that he is in control. We are simply to obey him, to believe on him, and to do his will. See that in the Old Testament that all else is vanity. What will you do today? What changes do you need to make? What changes do we need to be reminded of and to make and to follow God? You know, each and every time we get together, we offer an opportunity. You've been reminded of God and of sacrifices today. You have heard these things. Do you believe? It's that simple. We can make it very complicated, but we have been told about God. We've been told about Jesus. We have heard that he is the Son of God. He came to this earth. He has provided us a way. Do you believe? Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to confess? Are you willing to be baptized? Are you willing to follow God and do his will? Are you going to be saved with the righteous? It's our choice. We've been provided a way. We can turn from these signs and we can forget, we can be destroyed like the others, or we can reflect upon these signs and realize the great promise joy that we have been given, the opportunity that we've given, that He will fulfill those promises. But the choice is ours. We have an opportunity to do something about it now as we stand and sing.